Hi, Marty Lurie here on KMBR 680. If it's spring training, it's baseball. Tim Kurkjian is with us, and a pleasure to be out here in Scottsdale with you.
Well, this is spring training, and it doesn't get any better than this. Not just the weather, but, you know, you get out of the east and all the snow, and this is my favorite time of year. Everyone's in a great mood. Nobody's hurt yet. Nobody's lost any games. And I just love this laid-back style. The players are all just itching to go, which is great. And, you know, 3 weeks from now when we're 20 games in, and then you start saying, let's start the regular season. But right now, it's like, let's just take our time and get everybody ready.
Leonard Coppett had the best line. He said, no matter how long spring training is, it's a week too long.
Right. Oh, absolutely. You know, they have a dead arm period for pitchers. We hear about it all the time in spring training. There's also a dead arm period for writers, too, that at one point, maybe May, March the 25th, we go, can we please start games that actually matter? Because I'm sorry, I love the exhibition season, but it really doesn't matter who wins and loses until April the 4th.
You know, Kansas City, of course, wins the World Series last year over the Mets. The Giants win the year before with Kansas City. Is there a dominant team? Are the Yankees out there anywhere? Any dominant team in baseball? I know the Cubs are the big favorite. The Red Sox, I'm not sure why, are in there. But what's the state of baseball today?
There are a lot of pretty good teams out there, Marty, and no great teams. I mean, I really like what the Royals did, but they lost some key guys. I really like the Giants, but they don't guarantee that they're going to be great this year. The Cubs have a tremendous amount of great young players on their team, but they got knocked out by the Mets, who outpitched them. These things happen, and this is the beauty of baseball. We go into a season, and we really have no idea what's going to happen. Where I love basketball, Marty, don't get me wrong, but we have a pretty good idea that maybe the Warriors are going to play the Cavaliers in the finals. We don't have a good idea who's playing in the World Series. We almost never do.
Tony Kornheiser of your network had a good line the other day. Said the Cubs are like Secretariat. Joe Madden is sitting on Secretariat, and that's the way the Cubs look to him.
Right. They're really good, Marty. I mean, their young hitters are so good. And now they've got the belief that we can win. They added John Lackey, which bolsters their rotation. They added Ben Zobrist to play second base. So they filled in some gaps. They have the money to do that. But now they have the taste. They're a year ahead of schedule. I thought last year was going to happen this year. Now they've got 97 wins behind them, and now they say, all right, how do we improve upon that? How do we advance two more levels and get to and win the World Series? That'll be a great story when they do.
Boy, I'll tell you, if they do. What's it, 100? Let's see, 1908? That's only 108 years, so we'll see. Tim Kurkjian with us. You look at the Giants, and it's interesting, I said this the other day. You know, Johnny Cueto is in and out of the clubhouse. No one really bothers him. You know, there are a lot of stars. There are a lot of media people on this team. Johnny Cueto's just another pitcher. You put him on another team with his contract, everyone would be all over him. Here, he just goes about his business. I think it says something about the Giants and who sort of runs it, who stirs the drink.
Right, and it's the perfect spot for Johnny Cueto, because there are people who will tell you when he's the center of attention and everyone's counting on him, he might not be at his best. Although he was twice in the postseason, he helped the Royals win the World Series, so let's give him his due. But who wouldn't want to walk into a team if you're making that kind of money and say, you know, all I got to do is pitch really well, because we got the big fella at the top of the rotation, and I'm surrounded by three or four other really good starting pitchers, and that's why, of course, I really love the Giants. How can you not? With the rotation that they added, their rotation 1 through 5 is pretty darn good.
Tim, what do you think about the Dodgers? And I'll put it to you this way. You know, baseball's a long season. What you see today, you're not going to see in August. You look at the Baseball America 100 top prospect list, the Dodgers are all over there. Maybe in August they'll look different with new, younger players, but how do you view them?
I'm a little confused by the Dodgers, I must say. I thought they would do more to become a really good team to win right now, because they're in a win right now mode. But Andrew Friedman, their GM, has a plan here. A lot of Dodger fans don't see it. I think I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to build for the future and win the division every year. And they go to the playoffs seemingly every year, but I don't like the position they're in right now. The Giants, to me, are a better team than them, and I'm not sure the Dodgers are better than the Diamondbacks right now. So we'll see what they come up with this spring. They have a new manager, but they have some really good young players in their system, and they're just not willing to give up their best young kids because they think they're the future of the organization. But again, the Dodgers are built to win right away, and if they don't, people are going to say, what's wrong here?
Yeah, $300 million or whatever they're paying. The people have a lot of questions. I'll give you another observation, get your thought on this. Take a look at the managers in the National League West. Take a look at the coaching staffs in the National League West. I'm not sure anybody can come close to the Giants. And a lot more, look at Arizona, sort of more inexperienced, although another year for Chip Hale. The Dodgers, Dave Roberts is in. Green in San Diego, who's he? And then you get Walt Weiss in Colorado. I think this is a little bit of Bill Belichick versus the rest of the league with the Giants staff.
Well, Bruce Boch is a Hall of Fame manager if he never wins another game. That's how good he has been. And you're right. And I met Andy Green. I knew Andy Green, but I met him as a manager the other day, and I was very impressed with what I saw. We'll give Dave Roberts, of course, the benefit of the doubt on this. But, you know, managers, I don't know how much they have to do with winning and losing of games, but I'll take my chances with a really good manager just to start things off. You know, as a Giants fan, we're never going to get outfoxed in a game with Bruce Boch there. And that is great comfort, not just to the fans, but to the players who know we're not going to lose this game because the manager made a bad decision.
Yeah, and that's the playoffs and watching him out. Man, he's outmanaged everybody in the playoffs.
Right, there's no question. If you look at the wins and losses in the World Series and everything else, and just the way he handles things, and I just love it that in this new era of baseball where we're, you know, statistically oriented and we're looking for younger managers who've never managed before, the best manager in the game is one of the older ones and as old school as it gets.
All right, Tim Kirchian with us. Tim, ESPN, I love what you're doing, and I commented before we went on the air about a nice segment you did with Jessica Mendoza and Aaron Boone of breaking down Eric Hosmer, the run to the plate that changed the World Series. You guys do a lot of that now. That was excellent.
Yeah, we love to do interactive stuff here in spring training, and it's, of course, really helpful that we have Aaron Boone, a major league player, and Jess Mendoza, one of the best softball players of all time, to help with these demos. So, yesterday, we just wanted to take a look at this crazy play that kind of, to me, defined the entire World Series. The Royals won because they don't make any mistakes, and more important, they make you make mistakes. And that's precisely what they did to the Mets, and that's precisely what happened on that play. They went into that series knowing we're going to make Daniel Murphy throw the ball. We're going to make Lucas Duda throw the ball. That was the scouting report. And Hosmer looked at that and said, this is a risky play, but Familia's on the mound. We're looking at DeGrom and Syndergaard. I'm not taking any chances. I'm going to try to win now. And that's the risk they took, and it worked. And it doesn't work that way for a lot of other teams, but this is a mindset of the Royals, and this is one reason why they're the world champions.
Toughest division to handicap for you? I mean, when we started, I said the Red Sox. I don't get it. I just don't get it to where they're a big favorite. But look at the Central, and the West is better in the American League, and then look at the National League all over the place.
Marty, it goes back to your original question. What do we make of Major League Baseball? I have to make my picks pretty soon, like that actually matters. I have nowhere to go with the American League East right now. They're all bunched together. The American League Central is really, really close. If the Angels make some sort of push, there are at least three teams involved in the American League West. Mets and Nationals in the National League East. The Central has got three teams that made the playoffs last year. And the National League West is difficult to call. There isn't one easy call in any of the six divisions, and that's why the game's so good, is nothing is definite at this point.
The new bargaining agreement is coming up. A couple of hot topics. One, draft choices, how they're going to do with compensation, which clearly makes a difference with players moving. The other one, I think, is the schedule, maybe shortening it or changing the travel. And the other one is the DH. Could we, you know, you're talking to the San Francisco audience now. They'll shudder at the thought of the DH coming to the National League.
Well, it's not coming to the National League, certainly not anytime soon. Rob Manfred, the commissioner, said recently, look, we're going to stay where we are with the DH. I don't care what they do. I would just put it in both leagues or get rid of it and have the same set of rules. That's just me. But we played by these rules since 1973, so if everyone likes it, I'm okay with it. As for, they're going to try to do some other things this year in baseball, but they're going to try to speed up the game. We'll see about that. I think they'll think about shortening the schedule. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think we could find a way to make the schedule better, because the travel for some of these teams is just brutally hard.
Yeah. And also, what about the draft pick, the compensation?
Yeah. Well, Ian Desmond, for instance, is still out there as a free agent. He's a good major league player who had a bad year. He deserves a chance to play in the big leagues this year, but teams are staying away from him because he requires draft choice compensation. And, you know, that's why I think the Nationals still have a chance to re-sign him, because they're the only team that won't have to give up the pick. But, Marty, it does show how important young players are in the big leagues now, that teams are reluctant, for the most part, to give up a draft choice, because those draft choices are turning into better and better players every year. We're scouting better. We have a better idea how to do this. And I don't blame teams for not wanting to give them up, but that's something the union, frankly, made a mistake on. They didn't think it would hurt players this much. And here to have Ian Desmond still out there and Dexter Fowler just signed because of this, that's a long time to go without getting a job.
Yeah, Bryce Harper said it best. He said, look, Ian Desmond is better than any draft pick out there. Sign the guy.
I totally agree with that. And again, this is one of many things that will come up in collective bargaining. There's a lot of work that has to be done, but I think the climate is still so good that every side realizes we're in a multi-billion dollar industry here, and you cannot screw this up with any sort of work stoppage.
They like money, and believe me, they like money. All right, you have a new book coming out. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's coming out May the 3rd. It's called I'm Fascinated by Sacrifice Flies, because I am, and it's just another Valentine to baseball fans. It's easy reading. There's no heavy lifting here. It's just my favorite baseball stories over the years, and I had so much fun writing it. I just hope people enjoy reading it. I wrote one about 8 years ago. This isn't a sequel by any means, but it's similar to that in that it's just my favorite stories, my favorite topics from Major League Baseball in the 35 years that I've covered.
Oh, what a pleasure. A treasure. You're good. You're good at this stuff. You really are. A pleasure to have you on. The audience enjoys you. Good to see you on TV. And you're a heck of a writer, too. People forget.
Well, thank you, Marty. I'm a writer first and foremost. I just kind of do TV on the side.
All right. Tim Kirchin, thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. What a pleasure. All right. More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.